It was a brilliant discovery that revolutionized modern finance.
When I saw the formula, I knew enough about it to know that this is the answer. This solved the ancient problem of risk and return in the stock market. It was recognized by the profession for what it was, as a real tour de force.
An elegant mathematical formula that helped create a multi-trillion dollar industry.
Up until the time that they came up with their insight, the world was full of uncertainty and risk, uncontrollable and unanalyzable. And then, in a moment of tremendous clarity, they realized that two risky positions taken together can effectively eliminate risk itself.
This bold idea shaped one of the most ambitious investment strategies in history, attracting the elite of Wall Street until it confronted them with the biggest risk of all.
Markets began to act in ways that had never been seen before, and they began to lose 100 million and more day after day after day, till finally there was one day when they dropped $500 million, 500 million in a single day.
These money machines, driven by mathematical models, had earned fantastic sums. Now, as they spiraled out of control, investors froze in terror.
Everyone in the marketplace thought the sky was falling, and there was instant reaction. The fear was incredible. People thought, oh my God, what's going to happen next?
The crisis threatened to bring markets around the world to the brink of collapse. Could a global economic meltdown be avoided? But economists knew that mathematics had been successfully used to study random phenomena before, from population growth to the weather. Using esoteric theories of probability, they could model market fluctuations in their quest to master risk.
We can deal with random series in a way that to the layman may appear as just chaos, but no. Once you tell me that the series is random and you've got probability distributions, we can use some of the apparatus of modern mathematical statistics to do analyses.
The hope that the mathematical theory of probability and statistics could be a skeleton key to help you understand the nature of chance, perhaps to predict it better, perhaps to control it, that was born at that time, and the rest is, as they say, history.
Unknown to the economists of the 1930s, a French graduate student at the turn of the century, Louis Bachelier, had already exploited the structure of randomness in his doctoral thesis, titled The Theory of Speculation. He compared the behavior of buyers and sellers to the random movements of particles suspended in fluid, anticipating key insights later developed by Einstein and the mathematics of probability. But Bachelier's accomplishments would go unnoticed for decades.
In the early 1950s, I was able to locate, by chance, this unknown book rotting in the library of the University of Paris. And when I opened it up, it was as if a whole new world was laid out before me. In fact, as I was reading it, I arranged to get a translation in English, because I really wanted every precious pearl to be understood.
Using a series of equations, Bachelier created the first complete mathematical model of stock market fluctuations. He too believed stock prices moved at random, and that it was impossible to make exact predictions about them. But then, Bachelier said he had found a way to control risk through an obscure financial contract called an option. He realized options could protect investors from market fluctuations and made the first attempt to figure out how to price them. But his superiors were unimpressed. His academic career faltered.
After the discovery of Bachelier's work, there suddenly came to the mind of all the eager workers the notion of what the Holy Grail was. There was the next step needed. It was to get the perfect formula to evaluate and to price options.
Economists returned eagerly to the markets to investigate this strange contract which had so intrigued Bachelier. They discovered options were a form of insurance that allowed investors to buy or sell stock for a specific amount, the strike price, by a specific date. For example, if you buy a stock today, the price could drop in the future, and you could lose money. But if you buy an option, you have the right to sell the stock at some agreed price in the future. If the stock drops, you have insurance. If it rises, you profit. Options can be an effective way to control risk. But how much should an investor pay for such absolute peace of mind? The value seemed to depend on each individual's level of confidence in the market. No one could agree on a standardized way to price options. It was a bewildering problem that the economists were determined to solve. It was a goal that had eluded the greatest minds in economics. They knew that every stock price constantly moved up and down. As it did so, the value of an option on a particular stock fluctuated too, but there was no predictable relationship. What they wanted to find was a formula that would calculate the correct price of an option at any moment in time, just by knowing the current price of the stock. But they couldn't see their way through the mass of equations they'd inherited.
I read the literature, tried to see what others had done, and I became dissatisfied with their various models because they had assumptions that didn't seem to make that much sense to me.
Then Black and Scholes decided to try something different. One by one, they dropped any symbol which represented something unmeasurable. Their loss didn't affect the calculations at all. Now, for the first time, Black and Scholes were left with the bare bones of the problem, the elements that everyone agreed were necessary to value an option. The stock price, its volatility, the strike price, the duration of the contract, the interest rate, and the overall riskiness of the option. They were all measurable except one, the level of risk.
I could do that first part, and then I got stuck.
So Black and Scholes decided if they couldn't measure the risk of an option exactly, perhaps they could somehow make it less significant. The method they devised was to become one of the most important discoveries in economics in this century. They started with the old idea of hedging, in which gamblers hedged their bets by betting in the opposite direction. They created a theoretical portfolio, a mixture of stocks and options. Then, whenever either fluctuated up or down, they tried to cancel the movement out by making another risky move in the opposite direction. Their aim was to keep the overall value of the portfolio in perfect balance. Since prices moved at random, at first they could cancel out only small fluctuations. But eventually, using complex mathematics and a mass of calculations, they found they could precisely balance out virtually any movement.
after the fact, we call this dynamic hedging. What that means, dynamically hedging, is you want to be able to eliminate the uncertainty of the movements in the stock.
They soon discovered that dynamic hedging reduced risk by creating a perfect equilibrium in which fluctuations in the portfolio canceled each other out. Black and Scholes had found a theoretical way to neutralize risk. Risk now dropped out of their equation. And without risk, the unmeasurable element, they finally had a mathematical formula which could give them the price of any option. They had solved the problem that had eluded generations of economists. It was a marvelous achievement. But there was a practical problem with their formula. It assumed that markets were always in equilibrium, that supply equals demand. In the fast-moving markets of the real world, their calculations for dynamic hedging might quickly be thrown out of kilter. What was needed was a way to instantly rebalance a portfolio of stocks and options to keep offsetting their fluctuations. The Black-Scholes formula is now an essential tool, one that continues to be used millions of times each day by traders around the world. Like many mathematical models, it relies on inputs and assumes a functioning market. It is a powerful way to manage risk, but it's not a crystal ball.